Good afternoon. Morning on the West Coast.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi. Is this Devin? Hey, Michael, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Did you all have a nice Thanksgiving?
Got a great Thanksgiving.
Okay, good. Well, there's probably some snow back there, is that right?
We had some, but it's no longer.
Okay, well, there's some storms coming your way because, you know, we're getting rain every day out here.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, look, give me a moment here. We've got a lot to cover today.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't get a chance to get to your email yesterday, but I can pull it up right now.
Okay. Go ahead, because I want to discuss, your agenda first before I go into the new material for today. And
you know what? I've got no agenda.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, what I think we should do then is let's go through some of the notes and my response to them. And then you can ask, you know, any questions that you have. I also, Steve had asked me to kind of send him a script in terms of the quarterly calls. And so I put the calls in the context of 1242. And I'll review that script with you as well. Is Steve on the call by any chance?
I am, Curtis. It's a solid-looking script.
Okay, good. You know, my caveat with scripts is you got to take them, own them, and kind of put them in your own kind of words. So we'll take a moment and review that. But first, let's go through the questions or the topics that Michael had sent out. So the first topic was about the six educational topics. And so I did a little research, and there's some commonality of the topics, and I left a link, and it's the seven most Googled financial topics in the U.S. And if you get a chance to copy and paste, you can see this for yourselves, but I wanted to make it easy. So
Maria Devon and Steve, I just forwarded this to you guys.
Okay.
What's the password?
And so, yeah, we all set? Okay.
Hold on 1 second here.
Okay.
He's asking me for a password. I'm just going to copy and paste it.
I think you can hit no to password protection.
Oh, okay. That's all I have to do. Okay, is it protected? No. Thanks, Maria. All right, go ahead, Curtis.
Okay, so each of the topics can really be amplified by you. So the first one was income taxes, okay? That's broad-based. So what do you all mean by income taxes? And I put in parentheses tax minimization strategies and how you structure, retirement plans, tax-free income, things of that nature, things that will reduce tax, looking at installment debt and, kind of reorienting that, maybe do a mortgage wraparound of installment debt. But those are all, for example, tax minimization strategies. The second one has to do with insurance. Now, with insurance, that's another broad-based topic. But one, do they have enough, to cover if the primary breadwinner becomes deceased? And so that's an issue. The other is that the mortality tables have changed, and so can they really get more coverage without coming out of pocket? And then, of course, the issue of long-term care. As we have an aging population going on, they're more concerned about, well, if we run out of money or I become incapacitated, who's going to take care of me?
Right.
So that becomes a Very, very important topic. The third one, again, broad-based, is mortgages. And with that, I would add credit and lending to that particular topic. Can you refinance? Can you reduce, mortgage indebtedness somehow? But those would be topics that resonate, that come out of the financial planning process. The fourth one is college. Now, if they're older clients, then it becomes, how do we help educate the grandchild or the grandchildren? And so that's a topic. The fifth one is estate planning. And, you know, oftentimes we find that clients create trusts, but the home is still titled in joint tenancy, which is outside the trust. So right. You might want to think about estate planning, gifting strategies, and any legacy planning. And the last time, you know, that their will or trust was updated, all of a sudden there's grandchildren, or now the kids are more mature, they may be able to handle some of the financial issues themselves as opposed to, you know, waiting till age 35 or 40. Retirement was number six. And that gets into things like Social Security integration, how Medicare fits in, when they do their drawdowns, and that sort of thing, and mandatory distribution. So that was topic six. And topics, and you can amplify these to your knowledge base, Michael. And the seventh one was child care. And now, more importantly, as we get older, it really becomes about elder care as well. And how are we going to care for aging parents? And that's an issue that all baby boomers are facing right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So that gives you a run at some topics, and they don't even include the economic overviews, the portfolio reviews, and things of that nature. Okay?
Yeah, how's, you know, Steve and Marie, I know how we go through, like, our education sessions, right? It's just...
Yeah.
Probably making a tab on education sessions and just every quarter or month talk about what do we want to educate clients on, right?
Right.
I mean, I think the one most beneficial thing for us is just titling their assets, right?
Right.
Is that something you'd want to add on our checklist? I think when we cover these educational topics?
Yeah. I want to get the checklist to be like a checklist and then the discussion points to get to discussion points, right?
Right.
I feel like I think we're, between Marie and I, we're kind of like commingling a little bit.
Okay. Now, you can't get to all the topics all at the same time. These are going to be spread out over a period of time and months, right?
Yep.
So when you're having your 1242 calls, you know, you inject a topic, you know, for discussion and batch process them out on a monthly basis so that you don't have to go back and, okay, let me research, our mortgage and lending capabilities. You know, you batch process so you can have the same discussion with multiple clients. Okay. Any questions on that so far?
Yeah, Curtis, I guess, like, for, like, education planning, I mean, that probably doesn't apply to everyone. Do you still just want to go gung-ho with one, or do you want to have, like, a couple in the hopper just so you can tailor it to the individual client?
Yeah, I think what you got to do as a team is, you know, you have to decide what are the most important topics for the client. If they keep coming up in your financial plans, then, of course, you should do it. Now, the other reason you should do it is for referral purposes. They're going to come in contact with people who, you know, hey, look, you know, we got to figure out little Johnny's education here. And, hey, you know, my financial advisor addressed this topic just last month. I think you should give him a call. That's the other reason you want to have these discussions with clients. Not because they themselves might utilize it, but they want, you want to get them familiar with your platform of offerings.
Got it.
Yeah. You never know when that signal will come in where they need something, and if they don't think that that's something you deal with, they may not bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
So
very true.
Over the 12 to 18 months, you know, you're going to be able to have this these topics that you address with the clients. Okay, good question, though. So topic number two dealt with money savings for clients. And these are things that are kind of immediate things that you can do that offer kind of this gift that you're not just thinking about how you can derive more revenue, but you're always thinking about how can you save them money. And remember what I said on that in previous calls, don't give anonymously. So when you're saving clients money through restructuring or what have you, you know, be comfortable saying, hey, look, wow, congratulations, we just saved you, you know, $4,000. I mean, that'll resonate with your clients. And so I made a list of seven. You may come up with others. But you replace installment debt with deductible debt.
Can you give me an example, Curtis?
Okay, so let's say they've got $30,000 worth of
credit card
debt. Yep. And that's what I mean by installment debt. Auto loans, things of that nature, things that aren't deductible. They could do a wraparound and do margin and replace that debt. They can refinance mortgages and add another $30,000 that can wipe out their installment debt and without really changing significantly their mortgage payment. So those are things that you might want to look at.
So securities-based lending is they can deduct whatever their interest is on the securities-based lending against their advisor fees, I believe, right?
That's right.
It's very similar to margin. What other deductible debts are there? Student loans?
Student loans, for sure. If they're paying for that, for you know, they can, you know, reduce that considerably in the same manner. Now, you don't want to get them to the point where, you know, all they did was jack up their debt, but,
right,
you know, can achieve some monetary savings because of the restructuring. So that's what you want to look at first. Okay? Number two, over time, you start to get account creep with fees. So look at consolidating accounts and fees, and maybe they're charged, there's a kind of a cash management type account where you can create sub-accounts that can help with the consolidation and reduce fees.
That's just doing some householding or just some housekeeping, right?
Right, exactly. The third was life insurance. Again, change in mortality tables may reduce the cost of insurance. And the only way that you're going to know that is to really grab the policies, review them, see if there's cash value in those policies that they're not even kind of looking at, okay? And see if you can get them more coverage without changing the cost. Okay. The number four, and you just throw out if you have questions, but number four was refinance with the use of credit and lending, which we've kind of talked about, and that's kind of related to number one. tax minimization strategies, overall reduce costs and expenses. Number six, maximizing contributions to retirement plans. Okay. And number seven was businesses. Oftentimes, if the company owner wants to derive more income from the business, they can basically sell the business to the company, do a lease back, and charge the company lease on the property to derive more income. Okay.
Say that I just came across this about 2 weeks ago. Can you explain this again?
Yeah. So you know, let's say that you have a LLC, a business, and the company owns the real estate. The real estate is in the name of the company, but really, it's a closely held business, and the owner, in theory, owns the real estate. What
right.
he can do is do a sale of the property to the company. And let's say he wants to charge the company $3,000 a month in lease payments. Well, that $3,000 represents income to the owner. So that's a way he can pull another $36,000 of income out of the business.
How would that be taxed at his ordinary income?
Yeah, ordinary income. But he's also depreciating the property, okay? So that's going to be a little bit of an offset. And I think you should really talk to an accountant CPA to get more commentary on that. All right. Let's move to topic three, which was Covey model. And I said, well, the goal here is to maximize, you know, this is what you're always thinking about. How can I maximize face time with clients and prospects and lead the team's activities? So, you know, you want to have them report back at the close of business, so the first thing in the morning. And you want to sync schedules and calendars to make sure that this happens. So let's talk about urgent items. These are things of high importance, and you can add to these, but you want to time block your revenue-generating calls and appointments. I think that that's your number one priority each day. If you move operational, administrative issues to the front burner in the beginning of the day, you get out of focus and out of sync with trying to make those client calls. And so to the extent that the staff can take those calls away from you and not bring you administrative type things in the midst of your face time, that would be good. Because at the end of the day, you kind of go back and look at your day, and sometimes you might say, holy smokes, I only made three outgoing calls for the entire day. Where did my day go? It was interrupted. So what we're doing here is we're time blocking your revenue-generating calls and appointments. Now, I arbitrarily wrote down 3 hours per day. You know, and the kinds of things that may happen, you know, you just discovered that, you know, your client has been hospitalized with a major illness, and your value add is, you know, you want to check, make sure everything's okay, and that there's anything you can do for the family. So that becomes kind of a priority call. Obviously, things like a margin call, less of a factor in this world today that's not so transactional. And, of course, compliance matters. You know, when you've got an urgent compliance matter, you got to stop and you got to deal with it. Okay.
Right.
The goal here is to deal with your urgent items, things that are of high importance, and block out time. Okay, not just write down what's urgent, what's not, but actually blocking out time and having everybody in sync with your day so that they know that Michael and Steve, Maria, we're in time block right now. You know, in time block is we're ringing the cash register, we're making client prospect calls. Okay? So this, any questions on that? Make sense? Okay, then we get into these not important calls, the less important calls. And you should time block these activities at an appropriate time during the day. So allocate 1 hour to 1.5 hours. That means during this time, you're not doing client calls, you're not doing prospect calls, but you're time blocking administrative activities. That's when, you know, Devin knows that she can come to you with administrative matters that she needs your input on. You're going to delegate as much as possible. And meetings with team members occur during this time, and any huddle sessions that you may need to have with team members. Okay. Now, item 3 deals with the not urgent but necessary activities. Okay, you're going to devote maybe 2 hours per day to that. That's new business development, you know, working your referrals, calls or meetings with centers of influence, prospect referral meetings, follow-up scheduled calls, planning, getting your executive summaries out. You want to be time blocking these activities. Okay. And see, if you time block them every day, you're going to start to find that you're ahead of the game. You may not have as many administrative details in the course of the week because you're spreading this stuff out in the course of the week. Okay? So we're suggesting that you time block these activities. Any questions on that? So item 4 is these non-urgent matters, and I'm suggesting that you think about 1.5 hours per day. You time block these activities as well. This is where, you know, you want to do your reading, you know, improve your intellectual capital, your study, et cetera. Personal development kinds of things, personal phone calls. You know, can't play golf with you today, it's too cold. You know, you want to get that stuff out, which are non-urgent. When do you exercise? You know, you have to schedule it. Is it before, midday, early afternoon? Put it on your schedule. And then once per week, have the game board session with the team. That should be scheduled. And, you know, your emails and follow-up. So those are non-urgent matters. So, you know, when you're in time blocking on client FaceTime, you shouldn't be putting the email, which is in item 4, up to item 1. So that's what I'm trying to get you to try to understand as you organize your day. And you have to become a little bit dogmatic and a little bit regimented in how you do this. Okay, questions on the Covey model?
Nope.
Okay. Let's go to the fourth topic, which was a gap analysis. You wanted to kind of understand what that was. And what this is it's a team stepping outside of the team for a moment. You know, kind of looking in. This is for each team member, including Devin. You know, I commonly refer to this more as a SWOT analysis, you know, where you're looking at your team's strengths, weaknesses, developmental needs, opportunities, and opportunities for growth or improvement, and threats, what are the circumstances or issues that can derail the team from running smoothly and reaching its goals or targets? Okay? So what I'd like you to do is overlay gap analysis, basically with SWOT analysis that Rob describes in his in the manual. But I describe it in my book as more of a broader look, which is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So when we look at the examples, it might be, look, we plan well, however, we don't execute on topics of client concern. Okay? So that's an example of where you say, yeah, we've got a gap in that. We're pretty good, but, you know, we don't execute well on the topics that come out of the plan, and we don't revisit them, okay? So we got to do a better job on plan implementation, okay? Or, number two, operational follow-up needs improvement. Our clients ask us to get certain things done. We said we'd respond in 1 hour with a 24-hour resolution, but something's falling through the cracks. What can we do to improve upon that? Okay. And the third is not executing on 12-4-2, meaning that, you know, you're willing to let it slide with certain clients and not offer them the concierge service. So what happens is the whole methodology starts to unravel. You're not delivering the service, so you're not setting yourself up for the referrals, etc. Now, these were just examples. This isn't necessarily where the gaps are on your team, okay? So I want your team to be outside looking in and be able to discuss what you think some of the gaps are. Can you give me an example of a gap on your team that you want to address?
Oh, man. Good question. I think it's right now what we're doing is we're transitioning relationships and we're coming together with like a client checklist.
Okay.
You know, for the calls, right, going into the new year to make sure just simple things like do we have the beneficiaries appropriate? You know, have we met with them, you know, this year? Have we went through the cash flow chart with them? Have we went through their, you know, asset allocation? I think that's
okay.
One thing for us to get built up, which we're kind of like, I don't know, we're getting close to the end of at least
right.
Getting the sheet set up. But
sure.
It will also give Maria and Steve kind of direction on these calls on how to become, you know, thorough relationship managers to make these relationships very confident that they're doing business with us.
Okay.
So it's in part educating and in part learning and,
right.
You know, and then executing on and trying to make that client sheet more and more effective.
Right. Okay. And, you know, when you look at the gaps, don't come up with 15. Come up with 4 or 5 that are most critical to the team's success. You know, we're not trying to, you know, get them all done in 6 months, okay? We want to address the most critical, okay? All
yep.
Right. And there's some other examples here. Not seeking or implementing a referral strategy, not spending enough time on client-facing activities, which means you're getting interrupted too much, not having monthly agendas, you know, for the calls. You know, this is like, hey, I'm calling this client, but, you know, I'm calling into a black hole. I really don't know what the focus of my call is going to be. Clients canceling appointments. And the reason they cancel is they don't get the reminder, something else was going on, and you have to follow up. And your game board
right.
Should tell you exactly where you stand on that. And the COIs, who are your best referral source, they're not on a regular schedule. So you're not meeting with them, and therefore you're not getting the referrals. They don't know how you operate. They don't know how your team works. And so that becomes one of the gaps. So those are some examples of some gaps. Okay? Now, so that's a lot of what I tried to address with your email, Michael. How's that sound to you?
That was great. Thanks, Curtis.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Let's go to... let's go to the script here, and then I'm going to, this is what Steve said that he wanted to do, and one of the things that you always have to do with these scripts is you got to put them in your own kind of words. You've got to be able to handle objections and constantly probe for acceptance. That's sales lingo for getting permission to continue, okay? So this script, you know, since all the calls aren't quarterly, I wanted you to frame the calls with 12-4-2, which provides the rationale and the reasoning for the client communication, okay? So I'm going to just read this, and then you all just, you know, kind of take a look. I know you can read it, but... Look, hello, John. Thanks for taking my call today. My purpose in speaking with you is to provide an update on some changes to the level of service we're providing to our best clients. So what you're doing there is you're making them feel special, just making that out-and-out statement. Okay? Now, we've thought about this for quite some time, and we've received a considerable amount of positive feedback. With your permission, I'd like to describe this new initiative, and I'm sure you would agree that there are many changes in the financial markets, the geopolitical climate, tax minimization strategies, and the economic outlook that necessitates more frequent contact with our clients. Do you agree with that, John? Of course, yeah. Hell, things are going to hell in a handbasket, or whatever they're going to say, right? Now, we're going to elevate our service to include a concierge-type model for our best clients. Now, all of a sudden, you're making them feel special by making that statement. And what this means is that our clients will receive a minimum of 12 monthly contacts, with four of the contacts being quarterly reviews. Two of those reviews will be by telephone, and the other two reviews will be personal appointments. The other monthly calls will be touch-based communications that will last 15 to 20 minutes in duration. Now, what I'd like you to also do here is when you are on a call and you need to run over, ask permission for an additional 10 minutes. That makes the client feel that you're going to adhere to the schedule, the agenda, and that if they want to ask more questions and continue a little longer, then you have the flexibility for that, okay? So the purpose of the touch-based calls are to discuss your agenda first and answer any questions you may have regarding your financial goals, portfolio, and financial plan. Now, you can mix that up, change it around your benefit. Now, we'll send out our agenda via email in advance. Many of the calls are designed to make sure we are tracking your goals and any open items of a planning nature, and sometimes providing a quick economic overview. Many of the calls are designed for educational purposes and to make you aware of additional capabilities. How does that sound to you, John? Okay. All calls will be pre-scheduled by my assistant, Devin. There may be times when a call will need to be postponed by you. We realize that life issues may necessitate rescheduling the call for another date. We are not trying to overwhelm you, John. However, having a scheduled call will provide both of us the necessary time to prepare. So, again, you know, just like on every call I have with you, I always ask you what your agenda is first. Because if there's something that's more important, I need to address that. And that's the same with your clients. I will be providing you with a folder that will have contact information, agendas, and executive summaries of each call for your benefit. We would like to get started with the first call on January 15th and have subsequent calls take place on the third Tuesday of each month. Do you have any questions for me currently? Well, they may say, God, Tuesday I got this big outside meeting. I've got to be there all the time. So Tuesday's out. How about Wednesday? Okay, so you're going to modify whatever the dates are. Okay, so that's really setting up the calls, and here's the script. Questions on that, and how does it sound to you?
I think it sounds great. There's definitely a couple parts that I would tweak and make shorter.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it sounds awesome.
Okay. Good. Good. All right. So those were the three items that we wanted to talk about. Now, we're kind of running into the time frame here. Do we have 10 more minutes, Michael, or do we need to conclude now?
Let's roll. Keep growing.
Okay. Let's take 10 minutes and go through today's topic, because this is the first time where we really now start the focus on really growing the business. And so the acquisition model refers to just a very simple formula. You're limiting the number of clients to a maximum of 100 per team member. Now, this doesn't happen overnight. You're working toward that. So the model is basically 90 represents, it's a 96-4-2-2-1. 90 represents having 90 prospects in the pipeline. 6 represents 6 centers of influence. And 4 represents your 4-member mastermind group, and 2 niche markets, and then serving on 2 community boards, and the 1 represents your social media networking strategy. Okay? Now, it's hard to wholesale do all of these all at once. So, you know, I want you to gradually move in this direction. Okay, so that's what the numbers represent. So the next thing is look at the 5 resources for growth. Now, if you are building this concierge service, doing the things that you should be doing, and let's say you have 100 clients, and you got 6 introductions per year. That would be 600 potential prospects. And let's say 6 centers of influence provide 12 introductions per year. That's another 60 potential prospects. And then you create this 4-member mastermind group, and they provide you with 8 introductions per year. That's another 32 potential prospects. And your 2 niche markets, which are concentrated on a given demographic, give you 10 introductions per year. That's another 20. And then from your board of directors that you serve on, 5 introductions per year, that's another 5. Now, that's more than enough prospects that go into your pipeline if you follow the model. Now, we're really not asking you to necessarily optimize that many prospects, but you can quickly see when you start to work the acquisition process, there's no cold calling involved. You literally can have the right clients literally coming out of your ears here, okay, if you work the model properly. Okay. So what I'd like to do on our next call is spend a little more time looking at each one of these categories, but you should review them in the manual and on the video and begin to start thinking thoughtfully about, you know, how to get personal introductions. And I'd like to draw your attention to the referral script that I previously had sent out that would help you in that purpose. Okay? So we'll stop there, but that's the model. And as you can see, if you are working the model, delivering the concierge service, the clients now have the rationale for wanting to refer you. Okay? Questions about anything that we've covered, Michael, Steve, Evan, Maria?
Chris, I have a quick question. So when you're doing the referral service, and like you're just, do you want to refer like the second time you talk to them on the concierge model, or do you want to wait like a year, or when should that referral process start?
Okay, so the referral process, remember, you're working the enthusiastically endorsed model all along. So they're providing enthusiastically endorsements, and you can just ask for permission to speak with them. Okay, so that doesn't have to wait a year. I would definitely implement 1242 with all the clients. Now, the clients that you have implemented that model with, once they've got traction with that model, 3 months, you know, personal introductions.
Sure.
Okay. So pretty soon you will have introduced the model, and that's why we start, you know, doing 20% here, 20% there, until 100% of your clients have been introduced to the model, so that you can now really start to move on acquisition. Now, many of the teams we work with, it takes them a while to kind of get that done. But as soon as you can get that done, you know, you want the burden of proof to be that you are doing what you say you're going to do in terms of service. Because it's the service, the concierge capabilities, that are going to drive the referral program. Okay, so don't take shortcuts with that. Okay, so good question. Michael?
I'm
Devin,
good.
Anybody? Okay.
I'll review
all
this stuff, and if there's any notes I can provide you on the way back, I will this weekend, and then we'll catch up on Thursday.
Okay, sounds good. Look, you all have a great rest of the week. I enjoy working with you, and I appreciate your diligence and your interest, you know, and really trying to get this stuff down. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thanks, Curtis.
All right, you guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
See you, Curtis.
Bye-bye.